Your personal brand starts with your appearance, and what you wear says everything about you to others. You've heard a dress for the job you want? Well, we're talking to fashion experts on creating an authentic look to attract the life you want on the Style Interpreted Podcast.
How you guys doing? I'm Tony Arce. Welcome to the Style Interpreted Podcast. Today I'm joined by model, actor, and tattoo artist, amongst other things, Malcolm Sharkey. Malcolm, thanks for being here, brother.
Thank you for having me.
No, I've heard many wonderful things, and you know we've crossed paths a few times at a lot of at these events, these fashion events, but always stand out with your look.
Yes.
And we're kind of here to talk about that because, like everything else, it has a story, right?
Absolutely.
So why don't you start by telling us where you're from, because you're kind of from a few places, right?
Yes. Kind of grew up around a little everywhere, so it allowed my style to be versatile. So started here in Chicago, moved away. Spent about 15 years in Muskegon, Michigan, and I moved from there. I moved to Raleigh, North Carolina. I moved around quite a bit out there, explored a bit, and after being there for almost 10 years, I recently came back to Chicago to pursue more of my modeling and my acting and tattooing for better opportunities.
Yeah, and Raleigh is a beautiful place.
It is.
It's very, very different from Chicago.
All of North Carolina is very different. It is very different from anywhere up north.
And like as you were saying, though, that really did, you know, have an impact on you growing up and just the person that you are today. But, you know, this journey that you've been on, it all started really for you as an artist at a young age, right?
That
you always saw yourself as an artist.
Yes.
Tell me about that a little bit.
So I've always had this passion for art and drawing and stuff. And I was in school and I used to trace a lot, so I'm like, okay, maybe I can get myself good. And I did. So as I got older, teachers start to see that potential, and they're like, oh, we got to put you in an art class. Let's put you in an art class. So I'm like, okay, that's fine. I love drawing, so I'm all for it. And eventually, as I got better and better, people start to reach out to me like, hey, you're so good at drawing. Why you don't become a tattoo artist? And I'm like, it wasn't my thing at the time because I only enjoyed drawing. And then eventually I got into it, and it changed me because it's a different type of art. Not only am I allowed to be fully creative, but I'm also able to put work on people that has a significant meaning. So I could be a part of somebody's life or something that is very, you know, meaningful to them.
A very permanent part of their life, right? And it seems like that was also part of that narrative for you, that people saw those qualities in you that they invested in you, because it was at, what, 19 that your friend said that, you know, hey, you should do this, but not just you should do it, but actually bought you a kit, right?
Yes, because I wasn't trying to go invest in it. And it was like, oh, how about I just go buy you one? And I'm like, okay, I can't turn down a free tattoo kit. And eventually I could just, you know, pay it back or whatever. So I started off as that. And as I started practicing and learning more, I started to meet other artists, and they started giving me tips and show me how to learn how to use my machines, such as like, you know, growing up, you get into that, it's a competitive industry to certain people, and a lot of people spoke bad on my name as I became a better artist. But I also learned from like a lot of the crew from Black Ink Crew Chicago and so forth, so it allowed me to get that experience and that knowledge from far advanced people in life.
And what would you tell people who then are going down that path? Obviously, you know, you're always going to experience your haters, and whenever someone feels threatened by you, they're gonna say, though, that's a consequence of it, right? You're dealing with insecure people, that's what's going to happen.
Absolutely.
And it sounds like you handle a lot with grace, and we'll get into that as well. But, you know, what would you tell someone starting out that the path, what it's going to be like, how they should prepare for it, given what you had to learn kind of the hard way?
Yes. If I have to give somebody, it would be to stay focused and just focus on you. So you're going to have these people that are going to hate on you. They're going to talk down on you. And instead of using all of that energy to react or give some type of feedback to them, use that energy, use that hatred towards that person to put into pursuing your goal. So if you want to become a model, a tattoo artist, people hating on you, speak down on you, instead of allowing it to affect you, use that energy to push yourself harder in that industry, to be better, to get them opportunities and do what people always talk down on you that you would not do.
Absolutely. It's fuel, right?
Yes, I mean, that's all it is.
You hear about it in sports, you hear about it everywhere, where you need that that opponent almost to push you a little bit.
Absolutely.
And also for you that you had this idea in your head that you wanted to be an actor.
Yes.
Right? And modeling was something, again, that someone said, hey, you know you want to be an actor, but mm-hmm. have you thought about being a model? Tell me about what happened in that time of your life that got you involved in modeling.
So I actually have a relative, and she's my twin. Same height, everything. She's like a female version of me. So it's like, why don't we get into modeling? We're both tall, we're both skinny, we're both good looking. Let's do it. We can make some money. And we kind of pursued it a little bit in North Carolina. But then when I learned that if they're charging you all this money, then it's probably not the right place you want to go. So eventually we got into it for a little bit. It didn't play out like we wanted to. So I got into acting. And people was like, oh, yeah, we love your facial features. You're so tall. You know, you're skinny. You just have this versatile look. So they was like, maybe you should try modeling. So more people reached out to me about modeling versus acting. But acting was like my first go. I always wanted to play in movies. I always wanted to, you know, be that big movie star mm-hmm. that made out with Beyonce or Alicia Keys or somebody like that. You know, these big, beautiful stars. And modeling just, it took off way more for me. And in doing so, I pursued that more because it was like I had a better chance, bigger opportunities pursuing modeling and letting the acting follow.
Mm.
So things took off for me. My first fashion show that I actually booked for myself was for Chris Smith, who was a defensive end for Denver Broncos, I believe. And he had like a charity thing at the Outer Planetarium. I actually went to the casting. I got selected. They loved my walk. They loved my look. And I end up going to the show and walking for Tokyo James, who is also a guy from, I think he's like a Nigerian designer.
Mm.
So I was able to walk for him in a pink leather, I think it was like a cowhide jacket.
Oh, wow.
And it was pretty cool. It was like a $4,000 or $5,000 jacket.
Wow.
And I was like, it was amazing.
And what did you take away from that experience? Did it trigger something in you? Was it something you already felt? Or did it really ignite something that you didn't know was there?
I would have to say it definitely ignited a lot in me. It ignited me, like being around the people, being around the industry. That environment is life-changing compared to what most young black men are used to in growing up. So like we grow up around a lot of gangbangers in the streets and people always wanting to fight and shoot. So to be able to get in the industry where people actually support you, people show good energy, people show love, is it ought to make you want to be like, hey, I'm finna bust out my shirt and I'm gonna go crazy and do this, because it's better overall. Like I never knew I could do it until people kept convincing me like, hey, you're tall, you got a nice, your facial features, your cheekbones, like they love my cheekbones. Like I worked at a bar and they actually start calling me Cheekbones. They're like, what's up, Cheekbones? I'm like, okay, I'll take that.
That's when you know it's real, right?
Yes.
Like, when they're calling you by the very thing that you're known for. So, and have you found that the narrative or the culture around modeling, around the fashion industry in Chicago is very different from other places? Have you, you know, do you think you have enough experience in it to know about it, or has your primary experience been here in Chicago?
And
I mean like New York, you know, LA, even overseas. Like, have you heard the difference between, because it seems like you have a very positive experience. And I think of a lot of times being in fashion is, and you hear these horror stories, right, of what things that you have to put up with. And it sounds like you really found a really cool community. And I just wondered if you think that's a rarity or is that common for the culture here in Chicago?
If I had to say, I think it all really boils down to like your mindset. So it's like how it affects you, because I've actually modeled for quite a few different people with different cultures, different backgrounds, and different unique styles and so forth. And like, it can be hectic, but if you don't have a strong and positive mindset, it can also tear you down, because it's a place where there's no sugarcoating. There's nothing. They're going to be straight up with you. Like, let's just say I looked a little weird and they're like, oh yeah, you won't fit. We need somebody with a different look. Like, they're going to be straight up with you and tell you what they don't like about you. So that's the good thing about it, because it allows you either to keep pursuing it or let that tear you down. So just exploring the different cultures, the different backgrounds, the different everything is, it can be positive and negative, all on how you take it.
That's a great point, though, because it is really about that. And I think just rejection a lot mm-hmm. of times is, people change, right? It changes yes. them. And, yes. and you never know all of a sudden why they're saying what they're saying, maybe because they're a little hurt, you know, from mm-hmm. being rejected so often. And I guess for you, it seems like you've been through a lot, and we'll get into that, too. And, you know, staying so positive, I would love for you, I guess maybe we could start there, is just sharing your story of you spent some time not in a place you wanted to be, right?
Yes. So friends always tell me, like, they like, you're like the nicest hood guy that we know.
Nicest hood guy.
And I'm like, I've never heard of such thing. So I've always had this thing of having a big heart, having a kind heart, no matter what. Like, I've always looked at it like, my biggest goal in life is to be the best person I could be. As nothing else, and just do what I love. Doing what I love is what's gonna spark other things. But I met some friends, and we started like this little money getting group, and we was positive. You know, I was doing tattoos, business stuff, and this guy, they came up to me, they're like, oh, hey, he's from Chicago too. And I'm like, just because we all from Chicago don't mean we're all gonna be best buds.
Right, right.
So a situation had played out and he left us. And eventually I gave him another chance, because some of the people that I was really close with was like, yeah, hey, give him another chance. And in doing so, the woman that he was dating was very bad for him. She had him out like committing crimes and stuff. And I'm like, you don't have to do that. Come to me, you reach out to me, and I'll help you if I can, but we're going to do it the right way. And I ended up doing that, and I allowed them to come stay with me. And in doing so, he committed a crime that fell back on me, since it was my household.
Man.
So I went down for it. But in the time of being in the place I didn't want to be, it allowed me to humble myself. It allowed me to plan, strategize. So when I did come home, I knew how to attack all the things that I wanted to do: modeling, acting, tattooing, entrepreneurship. I even became a welder. So I got all my credentials. I could be a fully certified welder.
That's amazing.
So it's like, yeah, I utilized that time being away very positively and constructively.
And you know, so many people who, whether they were wrongfully incarcerated, whether that I don't think it really matters, right? Like, I mean, it does. I don't want to say it doesn't. But I guess what I'm saying is, the end result is you can become very bitter by the experience, right? And it could be something that that can define you
yes.
in a negative way. And for you, it didn't, right? And yeah. you had all the reasons to even be more upset about it, more embittered by it. And mm-hmm. it seems like you didn't allow that to happen.
Yes.
What if, you know, I guess, did you have to go through, or what advice would you give to others in being able to do that? Because I think that is such a, it's its own prison, right?
Mm-hmm.
To be stuck in that place where you can't advance. And it seems like you found the positive in it and found a way to use it for your good
yes.
and to plan for a future. So, yeah, what would you say as far as being able to let that go and focus on a future that allows you to be here and be so positive mm-hmm. despite maybe some of the injustices that you've had to face in your life?
Yes, like I've always had like troubles. Like in Michigan, it's very bad, like with the police harassing black men. Like I had a situation where I was just walking down the street and the police pulled up on the side of us and just started, you know, being hostile with us. So my friend start, you know, talking back, and he like, hey, you better cut that out or I'll arrest you for obstructing justice. We like, but if I have to give like the people away, it'd be like all roll back to like the mindset of trying to stay positive. Like no matter what, if you could survive it, it's not over. Like stay positive, stay focused, keep your mind busy. Utilize whatever you can to help build yourself up, so when you either get back out in the world or you come across opportunities, you're prepared for it. Versus a lot of people go into incarceration and they just lay there, they just work out, they fight. No, I worked out. Not only did I work my physical body, I worked my mental, my spiritual, my everything to allow me to come out a stronger person versus like this broken person or miserable or sad or just angry because I had to go through this, you know, this situation. So
100%. And it didn't stop there for you either. And it's, you know, and it almost is like you've channeled it into your artistry, right? Yes. That even the look that you have.
Yes.
You know, I'd love for you to share with us how that became for you what it is, because it has a lot more meaning than what people see. It's easy to look at someone and say, oh, it's just something they like. And, mm-hmm. and it might, I'm sure it is, but it has a lot more meaning for you, right?
Yes. So it goes back to fashion. Like, I love fashion. I love dressing up and creating my own unique style. As I tell everybody, I don't want to follow trend. I want to be the trend mm-hmm. that everybody follows in a positive way. I want to be like that positive influencer. So I developed my style after coming back to Chicago. My youngest sister passed away when she was 23 last year.
Sorry, brother.
Thank you. And my grandmother passed away on the morning of my birthday, my 29th birthday. So some friends came over, we went out, and we was at Navy Pier, and like this vendor was there with all these cowboy hats. Mm-hmm. And I was like, why? It's calling to me. Like, it wasn't something I just like, oh, I'm gonna just go grab a hat. It was like by chance. So I got drawn in by this hat. So I'm like, hey, I got a good reason to why I could wear my hat now. I lost my sister. I just lost my grandmother. So my hat was in representation to show like my power, to show my ability to be strong and display purpose with my outfits. So I developed the cowboy, I would say classy cowboy is what I like to call it.
Classy and fashionable.
Yes, because I like to wear the suits, the three-piece with a bolo tie, my cowboy hat, and cowboy boots. So that developed for me to represent me, the things I've been through, to being positive and to set this example. Like, when people just see me dressed like this, they go crazy. And I believe it was, we had a fashion show recently with Trent Sapio, I believe. And a lady actually stopped me, and she was like, I want you to know, you just made me so happy. Like, you made my day. And I was like, what? She's like, I love your outfit.
Wow.
I was dressed like, I had the full silk leather trench coat thing on, my full all black with the Zorro mask, and it blew everybody away. It brought so much joy, and that's another reason why I do it.
That's amazing. And when you, I guess, from in that perspective of what clothing means to people, because oftentimes, you know, you hear about personal branding and, mm-hmm. and there's that aspect to it, but it's also about your intentionality that you know, you dress the part, you dress the look according to how you want to be treated, but also how you feel, and you know, and you wear that, and you go out, you go to an interview, it's going to be different than mm-hmm. you're going to go to the store, right?
Absolutely.
So for you, when you think about that and you think about what fashion means as an expression of who you are or how you show up in the world, you know, how does that translate into more than just for yourself, but as you see it for others, as you see fashion in general for people who use it intentionally and the way you use it to really to tell a story about who you are?
Yeah. So, the way I see it is like a lot of people do it, like if they're into fashion, it's just let's to follow trend. It's, oh, let's get the latest Gucci belt or let's get these this and that. And it's not for a good reason. It's usually to show off or be like, oh, I got money and stuff like that. And I just see it as like, you don't need money to be fashionable. I tell people, I thrift store shop. I might have on a whole outfit and it might have cost me $30. And people are like, oh my gosh, you look so amazing. I'm like, yeah, that's what $30 can do versus spending $1,200 on an outfit or $500 on a pair of pants. It's like, it's too much. And you're putting too much in it to brag or show off. Mine's just not to brag or show off. It's to show you who I am, like my personality, my spunk, my who I am and how creative I am as a person who loves fashion.
So do you think that's changed a lot more recently where that's more accepted? Or do you still think there's a big culture around the brands, right? Because people don't have that creativity and they just rather just not think about it.
Yeah, a lot of people get lazy when it comes to it. That's why they just rather go out and buy. Like, I take time because when I display something, I want it to give off good energy. I want it to give off inspiration. So I want people to see me and be like, oh my gosh, and just smile and feel happy. And when I've known I've done it, I've completed what I set out to do.
And what have you noticed as a big difference from, because I'm sure it's a huge difference from the way you used to dress, which I'm assuming was probably a little more subtle, right?
Yes.
So what have you noticed as far as just the human experience, the way people treat you, the way that the conversations go, you know, how, tell me about it.
It's very interesting. So compared to the way I used to dress, people would look at me and think I'm like some thug or I sell drugs or something like that. But now in the way I dress, I'm like, it's a time to where we got to become men. We got to dress like men. We got to operate like men. We got to think like men. So in doing that, I jumped into like the suits. And now that I have this look, the conversations are just like, they're all good. They're all positive. It's never anything negative. It's always inspiring people or lifting them up. Like, it brings them so much joy. So when people approach me, they're like, oh my gosh, I love your outfit. Why do you dress like this? How did you come up with this idea and stuff like that? And I kind of give them a reason, and they love it. So the conversations are not judgmental. They're more supportive and inspiring and motivating. Like, we love it. Keep doing it. Like, you're changing everything in the way people look. Like, now, since I've been doing this Western look for about a year and some change now. And I could tell you, back then when I started, it wasn't a lot of people. Now, I see so many people, so many models, so many people in the creative industry doing the Western look, wearing cowboy hats, the boots. And I'm like, and everybody comes to me, they're like, oh, I seen so-and-so and this person this. And they're like, but you know, the first person I think of when I see that stuff is you. You the first person to start doing it. So now more people is like gravitating towards it, and they want to do it because it's the thing. It's a powerful thing.
Absolutely. No, and it's a cool look. And people do remember that, right?
Yes.
And it's a way to stand out in a positive way. Like you're saying, it changes things. And I think it takes a level of confidence that you just need to have.
Absolutely.
What would you tell people who, because it is inspiring, right? But I think oftentimes inspiration doesn't necessarily lead to motivation or doesn't lead to action, right? But and I think it also comes from not knowing where to start.
Absolutely.
You had something happen to you where, you know, that you felt drawn to it.
Mm-hmm.
Someone hears that and they might be going through something and say, you know, I need to change. I want that. I want to be able to express myself in that way and start anew. What advice would you give for finding that or being open to what that might be for the individual to find their look?
I would have to say, incorporate the things that you love. So it's like a lot of people are into high fashion, a lot of people are into suits, a lot of people are into some hats, a lot of people are into urban wear. If you can incorporate three or four things into a style and figure out like how you want to do it and display yourself as a new image, then that would be the route to go. Like I said, a lot of people are into like the designer stuff. So if Gucci or Prada or whatever is your thing, find something that's not expensive, but something that can make you feel empowering. Because like I tell people, like wearing this hat, it's like a different superpower. And a lot of people tell me like, oh, not a lot of people can pull that off, but you pull it off. Like you got the nice face and so forth. So I'm like, I'm thankful that a lot of people give me the credit that like, oh, you can really pull off that look. Not many people can do so. But it would just be targeting the things that makes you feel good. If you like to wear dresses or you like to wear suits, find something and incorporate what represents you into that style.
Very good advice. And I think that's important, right? Because it makes you look inward to see what are those things that I like, and be more intentional about it, right? Now, for you, what is the vision for the future? You know, what are those things you're working on, and that we can support you in and encourage you in?
As of right now, things that I'm working on, opening up my own tattoo shop. So I'm in the process of doing that. I'm also writing a novel. So I'm writing, it's an adult book, not for kids.
Okay.
So
okay.
Kids cannot read it. And I'm also working, like I'm doing a lot of fashion shows now. So I have some shoots coming up. A photographer actually just reached out to me about doing an Archangel shoot.
Oh, very cool.
So I'm like, that's going to be pretty cool because I worked with him before, and we did like a back in the day, St. Jerome's, some type of shoot. And it actually got acknowledged for the international, like, photography mentions or something like that.
Wow.
So that was pretty cool.
That's amazing. And how can people find you online? How can they follow you, support you, all those good things?
I like to post a lot of things on social media. So, like, my Instagram is the way I keep, like, all my followers, my supporters up to date with everything I've got going on. So, like, Instagram would be the best route. Same with Facebook. And it's my government, Malcolm Sharkey, on Facebook. And the same with Instagram, Malcolm Sharkey Official. And it allow you to keep up with everything I've done, my articles, publications, and so forth. So it allow them to stay in tune and support or be involved if they would like.
Amazing. Well, brother, I appreciate you coming in, Malcolm. And I'm excited to see you out there and see what big things God has in store for you.
And God has some big plans, some very big plans for me.
Amen, brother. Well, thank you again.
Thank you.